it's good to see everyone this morning, and good to be back in the house of God. You know, David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope that's everybody's heart this morning, and I hope we're here for the right reason. I hope we've left all the baggage outside, and then we can give God what he's due. We are in the book of Revelation. We've come to chapter 19. So if you would, turn to Psalms 24. Psalms 24. Tell Pam, scope. You go, don't you?
Okay.
Whoever put Pam in charge of the programs was a nut. Well, I'm surprised she ain't going door to door out here giving out the programs. Working
well,
the neighborhood.
I'm not even the greeter. I was taking up the greeter's job because they're not here.
Wonderful.
Thank you. I'm the first responder.
At 10:05, though, you quit greeting. All right. Psalms 24.
Thank you, sir.
It's good to see David and Jennifer with us. Always good. Boy. Last week we talked about
Demolition.
Thank you. So we have seen Satan's religious world judged. We've seen Satan's economic world judged. 1 John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if he that loveth the world, the love of the Father may not be in him. Is not. That's pretty emphatic, isn't it? So, but now we come to chapter 19. When I get there. Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. I'll read that to you again. The earth is the Lord's, and everything that is therein. He's made it. He owns it, and it's his to do with as he pleases. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Now, if you remember last week, there was a verse that I told you seemed out of place in chapter 18. Does anybody remember that verse that seemed out of place, but actually wasn't, but I said it seemed like? Huh? No, it wasn't verse 4, but that's good. You're at least throwing a punch. Remember, he said, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sin and of her plagues. And I told you that when it says my people, he's not talking to saved people there. He's talking to his people, but not his children. And what he's saying is, you better get out of where you're at. You're living in the wrong city, Babylon. So here he's saying something very similar, isn't he? He's saying, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. They're mine. People may not understand that, but every human being on this earth, it's the Lord's. He made them. And he can do with them what he pleases. And what he pleases is save them. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You remember that verse, don't you? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But what does that tell you? If you don't come to repentance, you're going to perish. But that's not what God wants. But that's what God will do. So he says, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Let me ask you, let me put it to you in my Tom Foster paraphrase verse. Who is worthy to stand in his presence? Someone who can do all that. Job said, no one. But there is a way. There's a way to get out of Babylon. Y'all thought I was off track, didn't you? There's a way to get out of Babylon. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity and hath not lied deceitfully. What does the Bible define as a liar? In 1 John, if you ever want to do it or look it up. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? So what he's saying here is, you can't get out of Babylon. You can't be in the presence of God if you deny his son. You say, Tom, it's the Old Testament. Hey, the Old Testament's the same as the New Testament, folks. The only difference was they looked to the cross and we looked back from the cross. It's no different. You look to his son or you're not going. So he says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath lifted up his soul unto vanity and sworn deceitfully. So now you know the criteria for getting there, don't you? What should be the next question? There you go. A very simple how. Oh, well, he tells you. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. How? This is the generation of them that... Is that not the same thing that Jesus said? He said, all whom the Father hath given me, I shall in no wise cast out. I knew she'd get it. So if you're going to get out of Babylon, and you have to, you see, that's not where his presence is. Could I tell you that? That's the wrong family. You say, well, I like my family. Well, then you'll have to live with them. You'll have to die with them, and that's be it. But you can change families. God loves to make children out of Satan's children. He loves to take tares and make... Oh, y'all are getting it. Y'all are sharp. I believe Stacy's giving everybody in here that mess this morning. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. And then that word Selah. It can actually be a musical term. Now, if I have I've got a musical person back here hiding behind Sandy. You know, she gets down like this where I can't see her because she's afraid I'll call on her. But it's actually could be a musical interlude. Some people would say a pause or a rest. What does it mean, a rest, Becky? Well, if you're singing and you're looking at notes and they got this little squiggly thing in there, that means a rest. That means the music's actually stopped. And you can take a breath. So what he's saying is, what I'm saying to you is so magnificent, maybe it's overwhelming you, so I'll stop it for a second and you can take a breath. Think about it. Meditate on it. Because the music's getting ready to start back up and you got to be on time. And then he says this, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Starts with an H. The next letter is E. Oh, he's talking about heaven now. He's talking about the eternal boat. He's talking about not Babylon. It's going down. It's falling, remember? He's talking about Jerusalem that the Bible says will be forever. And so what you get here is a picture now. He's went and he's told all his people, all his creation. He's told them the criteria. You can't be in my presence. You can't be in my city except you got pure heart and clean hands, right? But here's how you do it. You seek me. And when you seek me, you shall find me. When you shall have sought for me with all your heart. See, it's not just, oh, I'm looking. No, no, with all your heart. Here's what that means to me. I got to get to him. You remember the little lady? Oh, thank you, Father. You remember the little lady, and she's had this issue of blood, and she's spent all. And she's getting worse. And she says, if I can just touch his hem, if I can just get to the hem and touch that, I know I'll be made whole. And here she goes. You got to see her. She's crumbled and she's digging and she's crawling. And to the crowds are, there's masses of people and they're wanting to see Jesus. But she's nuts. She's got to get to him. And she's working and she's crawling and she's going to get to him any way she can because she needs him. And guess what? When she had sought for him with her whole heart, she was made whole because he said, he didn't say, who touched my hem? He said, who touched me? They said, Lord, what do you mean, who touched you? Look around at the crowd. My goodness, everybody's trying to touch you. He said, oh, no, no. He said, I felt virtue go out of me. Power. He couldn't deny her. All who come to me, I will in no wise. When you have sought for me with your whole heart, then you shall find me. And she reached out and she just touched it. That's all it took. That's all it takes to get out of Babylon and get into New Jerusalem, my friend. But you got to be willing. Like I may have told you this story. I've used it several times, illustration. But back years ago, this man, he owned a plantation, and I don't mean this racially. Now I'm making, it's a story, okay? That's all it is. And he had these people, and they would work in the mud to make brick. They was down in there, and that's you've seen it on TV. And they was down in there, and they was stomping on that, you know. And this one day, he come down through there, and this old man was down in there, and he's doing this, and he was just saying. He was just so happy, and here he is, just wore out, dirty, muddy, a slave, and he's just singing. And that man says, I want what you got. He said, oh, well, that's no problem. Just get on in here. You want what I got? Just come on in here. And that man says, why? I'm not getting in there. I own this place. So he goes away. He comes back the next few days. Old man still singing and stomping. He says, I want what you got. He said, well, all you have to do is come on in here. Oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm the owner of this place. Well, he come back a third time. The old man was singing louder, smiling bigger, stomping quicker. And the man says, oh, I want what you got. All you got to do is come on in. The man says, I'll do it. He got down off his horse, took his shoes off, and got down. And the man says, oh, no, you don't have to come in here. You just got to want. You just got to be willing to give up who you are. That's all it takes. You shall find me when you shall have sought for me with your whole heart. So then he says this. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. Now I'm going to give you two pictures here. The first one gets you into the city. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open to me, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. That's all it takes when the king comes in to where you are. And then you know what will happen? When the king comes back, you'll be with him. Watch it. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Here's what it means. The one he came the first time to get you in. The second one, he's coming the second time, bless God, to take you in to his place, to his city, to his abode, to his presence. You remember he said, who can stand in my presence? He that hath a pure heart and clean hands. Well, once you have sought him, he gives you a pure heart. He gives you clean hands. And remember, we read in 18 where he says, and he is on a big white horse, and the armies followed him, and they were three things. Oh, don't forget them. Come on, help me out. And they were, starts with a C, the next letter's A, the next letter's L, the next letter's L, the next letter's E. They were called. For many are called, but fewer. Oh, the next one he says, it's the called and the chosen. And what was that third one? Starts with an F, next letter's A, next letter's I, next letter's T. Faithful. Listen, when you come back with him, when he brings you to his place, when he brings you to his presence, oh, praise God, you're going to be the called. You know what the church means? You know when it talks about the church in the Bible? You know what that word church means? It means called out ones. So, see, you don't think of it as an organized church then. If you ain't called out, you ain't in. You can go up front and join this church, and we'll welcome you. We'll vote on you. Never have understood that, but we'll do it. But you're going to get in the church a little different, bless God, and walking up front and let the preacher tell you you're in. Because the King of glory is in control of that. That's why that last word is, take a breath. You can't read that without needing a breath. Or I can't. To know, Jimmy. To know, Marty. To know Amy, to know Diane. My hands are clean. Ooh, glory. My heart's pure. I'm out of Babylon. I'm in Jerusalem. And I ain't never. I ain't never wanting to leave there. I'm working on a song. It calls, don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? There's a verse in it. I told Stacy there's a verse in it that says it's a place where unborn babies play and are rocked in the arms of mamas whose chance had slipped away. Don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? That's what this is. There's a song that says heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Seems like lately that's all that's on my mind. Look, if you will, at Psalms 149. Psalms 149. I'll read the last five chapters, but for time's sake, I'm going to skip to 149 because they're all talking about the same thing. What we should be doing in here, what we come in here to do. We didn't come here to say, I went to church on Sunday. That's this building. We should be coming here to say, I'm coming to praise the one who put me in the church. I'll read the definition for you of praise according to the Bible or according to the Hebrew language. It means to shine. It means to make a show. It means to boast. Be clamorously foolish. Act like a fool. You say, Tom, that don't make any sense. Sure it does. Sure it does. Because then you're not inhibited. You ain't worried about what the person next to you thinks about what you're doing. If you all of a sudden stand up and say, well, praise God. I just want to praise him for what he's done for me this week. I mean, but the flesh will sit there and say, oh, no, you can't do that. I mean, these people, they'll think you're, you know. But he says, this is what praise is. Now, I'm not telling you to run the aisles. But if God tells you to run aisles, I say get to running. If God says stand up and shout, bless God, I say stand up and shout. Because God's saying, I want praise here. I got you out of Babylon and I put you in Jerusalem. I come and paid the price so you could do it. I'm worthy of it. I'm due it. And then it means to celebrate. To rave. Yeah, y'all know what that means, don't you? Oh, well, he was just raving how pretty she was. Bragging. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's no wonder that the Bible says praise is beautiful. The word in the Bible is comely, C-O-M-E-L-Y, but if you look up the word, the definition, that means beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to come in here and praise God. Come into his courts with, and to his gates with. That's what he said do. That's what we should do. I'm not fussing at you. I'm not beating on you. It's what we should be doing. I'm going to give you an example. Please don't take these as towards me. I beg you not to. I was singing that song that I was just telling you about coming to church, and I was crying. I was thinking about little Hannah and Alex and how they must be broken over their little child, but if I could just see the little child, bless God, it's in heaven, and it's playing, and it's rocked in the arms of mamas. It didn't get a chance. That's heaven. And I was just crying. And this black man walked out of his house. God said, why don't you stop and ask him about heaven? That's So I stopped and I said, "Brother," and I was crying. He must have thought I was some fool. I said, "Brother, where do you go to church?" And he said, "We don't go." I said, "Oh, we got a church just up the block. I want you to go to heaven with me. I love you." He said, "You know, we've been thinking about it. We got to get them out of Babylon, folks. Babylon's a doomed city. Babylon's a damned city." Now, that ain't a cuss word. I can't get carried away because I won't be able to sing. I'm over my voice. So here we go. Verse chapter 149. "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints." Well, if that ain't what we are this morning, let's go home. Well, we didn't get to be saints because we came here, Lynn. We didn't get saints, bless God, because we joined this church. We got to be saints because the God of glory, the King of glory, left glory and come down here and humbled himself and shed his blood, gave his life so we could praise him. "Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name and dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God hath in store for them that love him." We got no idea how beautiful heaven's going to be. But we're going to be there. And then we're going to see it. And we're going to have to take a breath. "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand." He said, "Bless God, praise me with your mouth and get the sword out and fight." We're in a war. We're in a war. I'm not talking about Ukraine. I'm not talking about Gaza and Israel and all that. We're in a war. If you can't see it, you're going to lose. You ain't going to lose the battle. The battle's been won. You could lose. I mean, pardon me, I said the wrong. You ain't going to lose the war, but you could lose a battle. "To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, dishonor." Have all the saints. You say, "Well, is that right?" Well, when he comes back, is he going to bring vengeance? Well, he says he comes back on a white horse with a sword. Well, that don't sound to me like he's coming back to hug you. Well, who's behind him? Oh, he says the armies of heaven are with him. That's us. And we're dressed like him. He's in white, we're in white. He's on white horse, we're on white horses. What's the difference? Where does the likeness end, folks? Oh, his is covered with blood. He's going to be doing the vengeance, folks. He's going to be bringing the vengeance. He shed his blood so your blood won't have to be shed. But if you don't come to his shed blood, he's going to shed yours. Somebody's blood going to get shed. That's what God says. I don't say it. I'm just telling folks, you better make up your mind whether you want his shed blood or whether you want yours shed. Because I'm going to show it to you. I'm teaching Revelation 19. Now, I'm not in Psalms. I hope y'all understand that. Or you ain't followed me so far. But I think you do. I think you do. 150. "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with sound and trumpet. Praise Him with psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel. And you know what I thought that night? I come to that and dance. I was telling them in the prayer room this morning. You know, y'all don't think that my hand goes up when them little things is up there singing because I think they're adorable, do you? Oh, they're adorable. But I can guarantee that ain't what I'm thinking. When they're up there singing that, well, I'll tell you that Ella, she's now she's going to sing it. Bless God, she's the Isle of Faye ever was one. But I ain't thinking how adorable they are. I'm thinking that's what God said to do. Bless God, praise Him with song. Praise Him with the dance. Get up and dance. It's okay if you want to dance. Bless God, they do it down at the honky-tonks. You say, how you know? I've been in them. I have my leisure suit on. Yeah, well, I know that. Listen, I ain't talking about right now, honey. Bless God, I've been saved in 1982. But, you know, I was John Travolta before John Travolta was John Travolta. And I saw that movie, I started. Hey, you know what I did? I act like a fool. I wasn't a bit afraid to act like a fool. I couldn't dance. White people can't dance. But I act like a fool. You say, well, you're drunk. Yeah, you're right. That's the only way I could act like a fool. Well, bless God, He said, be not drunk with wine wherein it is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Bless God, if wine can get you to drink and dance, and bless God, don't you think the Holy Spirit ought to be able to get us to dance? Act a little foolish for God? He's worthy of it. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Yeah, I used to listen to a radio show every Tuesday and Thursday by this church group off Stony Creek, I believe, and other churches around the Church of Christ, I believe. And, you know, and they said that, you know, that you weren't allowed to use musical instruments in the church. And so I pondered on that. Then I pondered on this, and I thought, well, no, that wouldn't be right. And the second thing that wouldn't be right, what if somebody can't read music? How are they going to know what the tune of the song is? If we ain't got a piano up here giving us how it goes, or if we don't have a guitar to give us the rhythm of it, how are we going to be able to sing it? But that's foolishness. He says, listen, he says, I don't care if you play the piano. Play it like, what was that? Not Jimmy Swaggart, but his cousin. Jerry Lee Lewis. Hey, did you ever watch him play the piano? Why, he'd get up and play it with his toes. He was acting the fool. He wasn't doing it for the glory of God. So, Becky, if you ever want to play with your toes, just do it for the glory of God, honey, and we'll listen and sing and shout and have a good time. That's what He's telling us to do, folks. You say, Tom, what is the point of all this? I mean, why are you going through all this? I'm in 19 of Revelation. He says, praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And the last verse in the book of Psalms, the longest book in the Bible, praise the Lord. Let everything that hath... What does that tell you? Now follow. I know I've done a terrible job, but try to follow where I started and where I'm stopping. What does that tell you? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. What does that tell you? Well, remember I started off by saying, we're all His created people. Everything's got breath. He breathed into them and they became a living soul. They got breath. Well, you can't praise God in Babylon. You may have breath, but you can't praise him. Oh, you might try to act like it, but it ain't going no higher than the ceiling. You got to get out of Babylon, and I've done told you, and God's done told us how to get out. So now he says, my requirement, and I'm going to hold every living person to my requirement. Praise me. And you can't stand in front of him and say, well, I was in Babylon, I couldn't praise you. He's going to say, well, I gave you a way out so that you could. That's why the Bible says, thou art without excuse. Excuse, old man. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to 2 minutes and cut me off, okay? Because I've got to sing, so I got to rest, or I won't be able to sing. Chapter 19 of Revelation. Try to keep in mind where we've been. 17 and 18 were about Babylon. Thank you, Jimmy. I knew you were getting it. Babylon. When we get to chapter 19, folks, we ain't Babylon anymore. Whew, glory. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people, not in Babylon. Oh, open ye up ye gates, and the King of glory will come in. Don't that sound like heaven? Don't that sound like home? After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Anybody notice a problem there? Does anybody notice a problem there? I mean, if you were in English class,
it's a past tense.
And, well, if you were in English class, and you used a plural in one sense and a singular in another sense, I can't remember a whole lot about my English. Probably didn't do good in it. But I know that ain't kosher. He said, I heard a great
voice,
singular, of much plural. Shouldn't it have said, I heard great voices of much people? Would that not be correct? Well, it would, except, bless God, it's one voice. When you're all the time saying the same thing, when you're thinking the same way, the Bible calls it this, with one accord. One accord. Everybody's praising Him together. There's no difference. One ain't praising him one way and one ain't praising him another way. One ain't saying one thing and one saying another. Oh, no. No, this is, sounds like one voice. Yeah, you ever heard a quartet sing that can sing? Huh? Not one I've ever been in. You know, me and Dave, we try to do a trio sometimes. Oh, God, it's a mess. Well, I mean, we've got three baritones that sing lead trying to get harmony in it. It don't work. Because you can hear three distinct voices. Now, who are those guys? But if you've ever heard a group that know what they're doing, sounds like one voice. We call it on the piano, what's that, honey? A chord. One accord. You thought I'd messed up, didn't you? Huh? One accord. It's all the same. Because he says, as he and the Father are one, so are we one. That's why when we get there, honey, whew, when we get there, I want you to think about this. This is why you got to take a breath. I'm about out. billions of people, but it sounds like one. I'll see you. I'm glad. Thanks for listening.